Now, one interesting question that I have that Derry never answers when he wrote up his report, how does Derry see the molars of Tutankhamun? How did he know that the molars aren't down? The mouth is closed. He didn't x-ray him. Tell you what I think he did, and I've kind of looked at the molars. I think Derry made a slit over here, underneath, right underneath the chin, I'd say, right? Right underneath the chin. And he pulls the flap down and looks inside, sees the molars aren't descended, and then he glues it back up and never says a word. He is taking apart this body piece by piece in a kind of very, very rough way. But this, at least, teaches us that Tutankhamun is a boy king. Now, let's go back and figure out how does he become king. You'll remember he is the son of Akhenaten, born at Tell al-Amarna, that religious center in the desert. When he is born, he is born of a minor wife, so he's not pure royal. But when Akhenaten dies, his father dies in year 17, there are only two royal children alive. Tutankhaten, who is half royal, and his half-sister, Ankhesenpaten, who's about the same age, 10. They're about 10 years old when they're orphaned. And she is pure royal blood. Now remember, how do you become king of Egypt? By marrying the right woman. The only half-royal male is married to his half-sister, the only pure royal female, and becomes king of Egypt at the age of 10. Now, he's 10 years old. He is not making decisions for himself. Somebody has got to be calling the shots. 10 years old, at Tell al-Amarna, the pharaoh, the religious leader, is dead. What do you do? Do you continue with the old religion, worshiping the Aten and stay at Amarna? Or do you give it up, go back to the old ways, polytheism, many gods, and move back to Thebes? The decision was made. They move back to Thebes. So Tutankhaten changes his name to Tutankhamun, going back to the old god Amun. Ankhesenpaten changes her name to Ankhesenamun. And these two 10-year-old children, married to each other, move back to Thebes. Now, think of what it must have been like for these children. When I think of them, I try to think of them as people. That's what I want to get through this course, that these are people, not just pharaohs. These were scared children. They were orphans. I mean, I often think of them as children of a bad divorce, in a sense, you know. I think they've got each other to cling to. They have lost their parents. They have lost their names. They have lost the only city they ever knew. They are being transported from their city to Thebes, the religious capital of Egypt, to a new religion, and everybody's saying their father was a heretic and terrible. It must have been horrible for these children. And somebody is making the decisions for them. Who? I think it's the man who was the vizier of Egypt at the time, a man named Aye. He's an advisor to Akhenaten. He's a senior official, and he moves back to Thebes with them. So they move back to Thebes, this young couple, 10 years old, people making decisions for them, and they start a new life. They do all the right things politically. The first thing Tutankhamun does as a 10-year-old, he's a king, he has to build his tomb. But he doesn't build it in the main drag of the Valley of the Kings. He builds it in a side valley off the Valley of the Kings, where his grandfather, Amenhotep III, had built his tomb. Because he's saying, I'm like my grandfather, the traditionalist. I'm like grandpa, not like my father. So he builds near his grandfather. The next thing he does, remember pharaohs like to build? He's 10 years old. What is he going to build? Right? The answer is, when Amenhotep III died, his grandfather, there was a monument left unfinished at Luxor Temple, right in Thebes. He built the temple but never decorated it. Akhenaten, you remember, moves the whole capital. He's not going to decorate anything in Thebes. So Tutankhamun's first monument is decorating grandpa's temple. And what does he put on it? The most traditional religious festival in all of Egypt, the Opet festival. This was a festival, it was a time of feasting, drinking, eating, you know, all paid for by the government. The statues of the gods from Karnak Temple, a mile and a half outside of Luxor, were brought to Luxor Temple, where they would stay for a fortnight, and everybody would feast. And it was Amun, Mut, and Khonsu were the three gods, the trinity of Egypt. And everybody would feast and have a great time. Tutankhamun shows it on the walls, the Opet festival. Again, he's saying, I'm a traditionalist.